Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host for the next 60 minutes or until my producer kicks me off. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. Once again, our main focus is going to be on the events surrounding the Hayley Cummings case. However, we are going to be talking about another couple of cases that there's been some movement in the last week. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
From Florida, we have news director and ace reporter for The Sky 97.3, TJ Hart. TJ,
hello.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
How was your parents' 55th wedding anniversary?
It was quite lively. It was nice to see them again, and a lot of family members from all over the United States converged for probably the most jam-packed 44 hours on Earth, and then we all got on airplanes early this morning and left them alone so they could rest. So... But it was very nice.
But by the way, did your nephew win the state baseball championship?
No, they lost 7-5 in the last inning, and broke his heart. But I was on that same team 34 years ago, and we never quite got to the championship game. And a lot of these guys were—they saw a bunch of us actually had showed up for this tournament. And it was quite unplanned, but they wanted to win it for the old men, for the uncles and the dads out there. And they tried; they were completely overmatched. But that was for the state of Indiana. He now plays on another All-Star team called the North South for the North South All-Star game nationwide. And then he'll be playing on the National All-Star team with their first game here in a couple of weeks against Puerto Rico. So he's good to go.
Okay, I'm not sure who else we have on the panel. Do we have Denny with us?
You absolutely do.
Hey, Denny.
Denny, always a pleasure to talk to you. Denny Griffin is currently in New York, although he likes to lurk in Vegas when the weather is more clement, and he's an author and crime writer. Do we also have Cobra on the line yet? No, we don't have Cobra. Okay, so I have to ask the question, who is coming in from the 732 area code?
That's Feisty.
Okay, Feisty, all right. Let's get on with the show. As always, our switchboard is open. And our number is 646-378-1120. And for those of you too shy to call in, our chat room is open, and you're welcome to ask your questions in there, and we will try to get them on the air. Before we talk about Hayley, though, I want to bring everyone up to date on a double homicide, a cold case that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. In fact, we've done several programs on the subject. Back in 1982, tavern owner Ronald Scharf and his barmaid, Patricia Freeman, were gunned down in cold blood at the back of their tavern. The case remained cold until last year, when our friend Denny Griffin co-authored a book about mobster Frank Collada. And in the book, the events of 1982 were well described. Denny, it's on page 130, I believe.
Correct.
All right. Anyway, I received an email this week from Paul Scharf, who is Ronald Scharf's son, and I do believe we have Paul on the line. Paul, are you with us?
I am, Simon. How are you?
I'm doing very well indeed. Now, I don't want to steal your thunder. Why don't you tell us what has happened in this case?
Sure. After about $1,300 of investigative work, 23 different interviews, the case has been noted as an exceptional status. Kind of clarify exceptional status, and I may be needed to be stand corrected, but exceptional status in a case of murder is what that says is we would indict an individual today if they're A, if they could not be extradited, or B, if they were already serving life in prison, or in my case, already deceased. And so they named Larry Newman as the person that they would indict in the murder of my father and Patricia Freeman.
But that, in some ways, is good news, but I understand there's some less good news.
Yeah, there is some less than good news. Some of the issues that have come around was that the evidence that we've had, you know, Frank Collada, testimony from Jim Hager, all occurred back in like 82, 83, around there. And it seems like this case could have been closed back then, but for whatever reason, the investigative detective focused in on the ex-boyfriend of Patricia Freeman, who is the barmaid for my father. And they were provided some extraordinary evidence from Frank Collada that the killer really was Larry Newman. And it appeared that it went ignored. And so for my family and for the Freeman family, one of the biggest questions that we have been asking is what happened back then? And we still don't have any answers for that today. We received a summary explaining the exceptional status of Larry Newman, which we're grateful for. But at the same time, the summary doesn't provide any understanding of what happened back then. And for me, it falls into one of three categories, that this was absolute dereliction, pure arrogance, or on the take from the mob. And I'll allow people to kind of draw their own conclusions on what it may be. And so we have no answers there. And the other news that's not so good is there are some people that were complicit in the murder of my father, and there won't be any charges being filed. And
That would be Debbie Newman and Tommy Amato, I'm guessing.
Correct. And my feeling is that I feel strongly that there is evidence that could bring a case forward of conspiracy against these folks, but we're not going to have our day in court with them.
Well, you know, Paul, on the bright side, at least finally, you know, after all of these years, that there is a little bit of closure. It has been proven that Newman was the trigger man, and that must make you and your family somewhat happy.
Yeah, it does. It does, and we're really appreciative of that. And you know, we're appreciative of the people that worked on this. But what we're not so appreciative of is the fact that there's been no explanation, no apology. And as far as like evidence, you know, I inquired about since the case is over, getting the personal property of my father, which included his handgun and my mother's handgun, which was entered into evidence back in 81. They have no record of my parents' weapons. They're gone, you know, out of the evidence locker. And there was an article today on the Northwest Herald describing some of the characteristics that Detective Hendel, who later became Sheriff Hendel, who is the chief investigator of my father's case, some of the characteristics that he had about kind of keeping everything in his head, not writing things down, not providing dates, times, or any record like that, and kind of running his investigators kind of in a silo, giving them very small objectives, but not understanding what it is that they're doing in the big picture or the big scheme of things. So, I mean, it brings up more questions than answers.
Denny, you obviously have heard this news. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I have a few thoughts. I agree primarily, even though I'm an outsider, I was not part of the family or anything, but I can understand exactly where Paul is coming from. And I did a little research because I remember last December, I believe it was, John Walsh from America's Most Wanted, there was a resolution or a clearance, exceptional clearance, in the case of the murder of his son, Adam. And I did a little research on that, and the murder, of course, was different. It was a child and versus two adults and so forth. But the authorities in that case in Hollywood, Florida, also had a suspect. And apparently there was a problem with the investigation. And this individual, the suspect, had passed away in prison, similar to the case of Paul's dad and Larry Newman having died in prison. And when Hollywood, Florida renewed their investigation into Adam's death, they concluded that the case could have been closed years ago. It was a 27-year-old case, almost identical to the situation with Paul's dad. And they called a public press conference. They had the Walshes there and made a public apology for not having closed the case sooner. And I don't know if they went into great detail about the initial investigation, but they admitted lapses, that there had been lapses in the investigation. And I felt, that is not unreasonable to expect something similar in the case of Paul's father and Pat Freeman, that there could be a little more and maybe a public a presentation or explanation of what happened, why things weren't done as best as they can explain after nearly 30 years.
Right.
But I don't know. I think there could be a little more here than just a letter put in the case file.
TJ, I know that this is not a case that you're familiar with, but you are familiar with the area that it
mm-hmm.
happened in. Is this an admission of guilt in your mind? The cops didn't do what they should have done.
That does happen. And from what we've heard right here and right now, it would tend to lead me in that direction. But I'd have to research it a little further. But I'm fascinated by the story. It's really something else, and I know that everybody's put a lot of hard work and a lot of hard effort to get this reconciled.
Okay, Paul. Again, I want to thank you for being with us, and I know that you're trying to get to Dallas. I think it is, but if you would like to stay on the line and join in with any of our other conversations, feel free to just jump in. This is definitely an anarchy radio.
Hey, Simon, let me holler at Paul real quick. Paul, there's still a lot of that being practiced even to this day, my friend.
Okay, we lost Paul temporarily, but I just saw him call back in. Let me see if I can bring him back on. Paul, is that you again?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm traveling to the airport right now, and we're cruising through the mountains, so I'm fading in and out.
Okay. You probably missed what I said. I wanted to thank you for joining us, and if you can stay on the line, please do, and at any point, please jump in. We are not a formal organization, and I'm sure you have lots to say on the other cases that we have up for discussion.
Sure. But if I have to go, I'll just kind of sign off quietly here. I'm traveling back to Dallas.
Okay.
Okay, I do notice that we have Cobra on the line now. Cobra.
Brother, how you doing, Simon? Denny?
I'm doing very well.
Hey, Cobra.
Did you take another nap?
No. I actually got engrossed in a long conversation with Art Harris, and he's on his. He said this is pretty hot over here, so he's going truthfully on a plane right now to Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan. He really is. Oh, man, he's funny. He's a funny guy. But anyway, he's all, Paul, I made a comment while you were off the line a second ago. I said there are those who still practice that type of, I don't know what you call it, that type of investigative services, I guess, out today. I mean, they still do, brother. I feel for you. It's frustrating at best.
Okay, let's move on. There's another case that we've been following. It's the very ugly Kaylee Anthony case. There was an interesting event this week. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I do want the panel's thoughts. Defense attorney Jose Baez is attempting to delay the fraud trial until the capital trial is completed. Kaylee Anthony has pled not guilty to writing bad checks. But at least one news source, a radio station, I can't remember the name of it. Do you remember?
WGBO.
All right.
.com. I'll let them know.
Right. They're reporting this incredibly interesting story. But the bank reimbursed Amy Huesinger, the lady whose checks were stolen, and that the offices of Jose Baez reimbursed the bank.
Wow.
Jen, I mean, this sounds like an admission of guilt.
Well, that's what I would say. I mean, if you're... I've watched a lot of court TV, and they always say, if you say you're going to pay it back, that means you're guilty of taking it to begin with.
Oof.
But now there was a blogger that came in and a comment in our blog, and they did say that they know that they knew for a fact, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that the bank refused payment from Jose Baez because it was in litigation or something to do with the case. Now, so which one's telling the truth, I don't know. But still the point is, if you did, they did or didn't accept it, Baez did make an attempt to pay it. Why would he do that if she's not guilty? And she pled not guilty. So why would they try to pay the payment back if she was not guilty?
Right. You know,
good question.
Yeah. I mean, if I wasn't guilty of something, I'm not sure I would want to fess up my hard-earned dollars. To the panel in general, and anyone got any thoughts on this one?
Well, this is Cobra. Simon, I'll tell you, just as we're speaking, not only is Art at the airport leaving, but Pastor Grun, my friend and client, and his son, Jesse, I guess they're meeting in Atlanta, but they're going to New York. 48 hours has decided to pick up this case, and more importantly, his exacting story. Not the other hogwash going into it, but just the Pastor Grun and Jesse's story, how this thing with Baez and his team of investigators and all that kind of stuff. I think it's going to be quite an interesting piece to read. I think a lot of things will be exposed since there's no gag orders on this side of the table.
It'd be nice to hear somebody else's story instead of just Anthony.
Well, this story right here will probably end up putting, I don't know, half of them in jail.
Well, that would be awesome.
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome?
Actually, I do hope you're talking about the Anthony half to jail.
Anthony has done a few things that we're finally going to release in 48 hours, and they're investigators, and hell's fixing to break loose.
Okay,
did. We just tried to get it back in the box.
I do want to move on to Kaylee, but I do have one last Kaylee item, and that is that we've heard that Baez also wants Padilla off the prosecution witness list and anyone that Padilla had dealings with. Jen?
Any of his employees that was involved with this? whenever he bails her out.
And it's because he was inside, real inside on the case. I mean, he had his RV parked out there. She was coming out there, and they were talking back and forth. Padilla knows a lot. I mean, he was practically family there for a minute.
Right.
So if I was on the other side, I would move to strike everything coming out of him. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Now the WESH TV out of Orlando has also said that their defense lawyer, I don't know whose lawyer he is, but Richard Hornsby is a defense lawyer.
Yes.
And he said that the agreements that Baez is claiming that they had with Padilla is worthless because the Florida statutes do not allow attorneys and bail bondsmen to enter into those types of confidentiality arrangements.
Well, I'll tell you, yes and no. In Florida, any contract that can be fulfilled in 1 year doesn't even need to be on paper. You can do it on the phone. You can do it with a handshake. Truth is proving it up is as good as the paper's writ on. However, in that case, the reason that they did that is they wanted Dominic Casey's phone records, and he stalled off saying, wait a minute, can't have them because they belong to Baez. Nope, can't have them because Baez wants them. They belong to Cindy Anthony. Then both of them got together and said, no, you don't work for either one of us. Neither one of us paid you. Therefore, we want the phone records. And so that's what all the hoopla is going on about.
Okay, let's bring on a caller. Someone is calling in from the 512 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, I actually called in just to listen, so I can listen on my cell phone.
Okay.
So if that's okay.
That's fine. What's your name? We still love to know
names. My name's Kathy. I've called in before, and I know Cobra. Hey, Cobra.
Okay.
How are you, hon?
Okay.
I just want to listen. I just want to listen to all the new developments and just stay quiet if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine.
All right.
Enjoy the program.
I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, TJ,
let's move on to... Sorry?
Can I holler at TJ for a second?
Certainly.
CJ, I'm glad you made it back safe, brother man, and congratulations on that. Man, if people don't stay married that long no more, brother.
No, they don't. 55 years is a good long time for folks to put up with one another.
Man. And to have you come back up there, did you get a chance to do your radio voice with him and everything?
Did I what, sir?
Did you get a chance to do your radio voice and everything with him?
No, I came in as my God-given name, and that show business thing just went to hell for about 2 days, and that was the best. That was the second best part of it.
You didn't give him a heart attack showing up with all the family, did you?
Well, what happened was is that they were quite surprised, and they were pleasantly pleased, but I think my sister softened the blow a little bit just to make sure that nobody keeled over, so it was a good deal.
There's always one in the bunch, man. Golly. I told Simon if they lived through it, it'd be a pretty pleasant surprise.
Okay, let's take one more caller, then we're going to move on to the Haley Cummings story. Someone coming in from the 641 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, Simon. Hi, Jan. Hi, Cobra. Hi, TJ. This is K2, and
hi,
I just
K2.
Wanted to call and tell TJ that I'm sorry there was a miscommunication a few weeks ago on the...
That's okay. I understood. I understood the miscommunication. I understood your explanation.
Okay, but, you know, I thought, you know, like the email, that was electronic proof, you know what I'm saying?
Everything's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure, and I just want to let you guys know that I'm glad you're still working on the case, and I hope everything goes in the favor of Haley now.
Oh, I think it will. And on that note, let's segue into the developments in the Cummings case. TJ, bring us up to date.
Well, one of the things is something that's really not new because it was actually brought forth on this radio program about 4 months ago, the DCF investigation into possible abuse at the hands of Ron Cummings to Jr. and to Haley. No finding of anything to proceed. And with that, it was finally announced by the state, ironically, about, Wednesday or Thursday? It was Thursday, late Thursday afternoon.
Right.
And promptly after that, we got word and confirmation that the attorneys for Crystal Sheffield, the biological mother of missing Haley, and for Ronald Cummings, the biological father of the young lady too, are no longer working with their clients at this point. So everybody's when they say, "Are you lawyered up? Are you lawyered up?" I don't think anybody's lawyered up. I think what they are is what needed to be done is done, and that's the last I heard of it Saturday. So
that's it.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I guess this very much plays into what we were talking about last week, being back to square one.
Well, I don't know about that. I've heard that so many times, and then I've heard others kind of play it off, and then I've heard even more people say back to square one. So I'm going to wait and see for sure with my own eyes and ears for verification on that.
I'm going to come back to this question, but let's take another caller. We
sure.
We have someone coming in from the 818 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Good afternoon. It's Noreen, everyone.
Hello.
My first question is for TJ.
Yes, ma'am.
And that is, TJ, do you personally think that Ellie is capable of handling this, or do you think maybe if we were to write a few more letters and ask that we ask for a new lead investigator, possibly from the FBI or the FDLE, the reason I'm suggesting another new investigator is given the suggested relationship between Peggy Cohn and KP, if that's to be believed, isn't there a conflict or a possible conflict of interest?
Well, KP is no longer involved in the mix. Ms. Picazio is no longer involved in this situation. But
okay.
you bring up we just announced that the attorneys are out of it. The thing is that well, we live in the United States in a democracy, but it isn't that kind of democracy. But drawing attention to your representatives to ask for prompt, swift, and responsible action would probably be in order. And if you wanted to go ahead and try to make a personnel call or suggestion to the sheriff's office, that email will probably go through.
Okay.
But as far as that, but keep the pressure on. I do know that we do have several elected officials who have been getting their email boxes rung pretty good. So
sure.
I think they're getting the message.
Excellent. Okay, my second question is, and I don't know if anybody knows the answer to this, is do we know if Ron has in fact been in touch with Ellie? If I know they were wanting to clear up a few issues with him. Does anyone know if that's actually taken place?
According to my sources, no.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Oops. Not the answer I wanted to hear. And then another comment I'd just like to make, and this is purely my own statement, my own belief and everything.
Sure.
An English author by the name of Edward Lytton, 19th century English author, wrote, "The pen is mightier than the sword."
Oh, indeed.
And this week we've seen so many nasty, cruel, hurtful things thrown out at bloggers, at journalists, at attorneys, at PIs. Can we please, please stop it?
God bless you.
Back on Haley. Please.
I agree.
We've got to bring
Cobra
her
said
home.
That.
Thank you, Cobra. Thank
yes,
you, CJ.
Ma'am. Thank you.
You know, the pen is mightier than the sword, but let's use it to our advantage and let the officials know we want action. We need Haley home.
Well, they are getting the word, and I'd love to see that turn into action so fast. And thank you very, very much. I appreciate
your
call.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Absolutely.
God bless all. Bye-bye.
Yep. Goodbye.
Simon, those Brits, you and them Brits and stuff, man, I'll tell you what, you guys need to run the show, man, because that's ditto. I was just going to say ditto to what he said, ditto to what she said. Now, go with it. Go with it.
Cobra, TJ, your thoughts. It is a very famous statement, you know, the pen being mightier than the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that our blitz, if you will, had any effect
on the events of last week?
It's hard to say. I do believe that the announcement was coming relatively quickly. It had been 4 weeks since that DCF action had been wrapped up. As you know, we have our time in life, which is, you know, a breakneck pace. The state of Florida and the federal government have their own state of time, which is whenever they damn well feel like it. And at that pace, at that stage, you know, the attorney's, you know, gone. But I don't know that that did, but I will tell you what has been happening is that this story, I come back after 2.5 days, just not even near anything electronic that looks like a computer or a TV or a radio or anything, been cut off from all forms of media. And I look on the Haley, I look on the Google News, and it is packed with Haley Cummings stories, including from FoxNews.com. And I mean, it's a well-written story. I don't know if my recent appearance and me talking to some of the producers after my appearance on the O'Reilly Factor the other night had anything to do with this, but I get the feeling that there's a lot stirring up all over the place. And in the words of my good friend Cobra, things are popping off, brother. Things are popping off.
Yes, they are.
So the media attention is coming back. We did do some national TV Thursday on Prime News with Mike Galanos, and I tell you what, his crew there at Prime News will touch the story, but they do it quite cautiously. They really do. And I think one of the calls to action was someone had wanted to know if calling America's Most Wanted and getting Walsh involved with this again was worth it. And this was on bloggernews.net. And I think it was Mandy who suggested this. And I think that's a splendid idea. If I'm incorrect, I apologize. But I think it's a splendid idea. Keep that pen going because it is mighty, and it has been doing some things. It's a little bit of a ripple effect. It's a couple of pebbles in the pond, but you know what? Those are waves. They're the smallest of waves, and we need to make some waves and keep this girl fresh in everybody's mind and demand that there be a resolution come soon. And if that resolution is bringing that sweet child home to Satsuma into some loving arms, so be it. And I say make it quick.
TJ, you familiar up your way with a lady by the name of Dale Hinman?
I think it's the next county over, but I believe so.
Yeah. She's an FBI profiler. She's an FBI profiler. I think she's retired, but her and Dr. Phil, because I need Dr. Phil, and that FBI profiler that's on Dr. Phil that does those lie detector tests.
Yeah.
I think, you know, just, you know, not replacing anybody. Noreen said something about, you know, bringing in a new lead. I think Dominic is doing an excellent job as lead, and he's the true lead on the case. And I think giving him some tools to work with, you know, some more tools. And Dale Hinman, I'll tell you what, I've watched a lot of profilers, but I'd be scared if she come up in front of my house with some pictures. Shit.
Gee, me.
Yeah, there's one over there, and there's two over there.
Good golly.
Yeah, Dale Hinman is an excellent profiler. I just wonder if she can be brought out of retirement just to handle one missing little child case that seems to be stumping us right now. Most of the other ones we've kind of got a grip on. This one is just a little on the rough side.
Well, it's more than, you're absolutely right, you know, and I'm still disappointed that there was the intention to have the second roundtable with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and with also local law enforcement with Putnam County and with the FBI and other investigators. I was really disappointed to hear that the intention didn't come to fruition, and they haven't had that second meeting yet. But I do understand, but I just, it doesn't reconcile with my thoughts and emotions, so I'm kind of going off the logic scale into the emotion scale, and God help me here, folks.
If I was to help you a little bit, I would tell you this. It there was a lot popping off.
Yes.
Those 2 weeks. And,
yes, there were.
I think it was a smart decision to table the table for a moment and get it re-wrapped up and see what focused, and then go ahead and do it. And they're, as far as I can see, a lot of people are complaining they're right on schedule. They need a few more tools, but they're coming together.
You know something, and that's really good to hear, Bill. You know, like I said, I've been gone for the last several days, and you know, if you lose more than 16 hours on this case, you've lost a lot.
Yeah.
And you're playing catch up for a half a week.
Yeah.
So that is really good to hear your thought on that. And I really hope the tools do come through. I hope that FDLE can really help out, and I hope FBI can really set forth some man and woman power on this too.
I think what needs to happen, though, is Putnam County needs to reach out and say, help us. And that I just haven't seen that happening so far.
Yeah. Now, we did get some word this week, and I know that sometimes I cross paths with Cobra sometimes on different things. Like, oh, well, what were you? Well, I'll be damned, you know. And sometimes when I put in a call to Cobra, or I'm putting in the calls to other folks, we hear things, we see things, we see things, and we might be seeing two different things, but we saw the same thing,
sure.
Or we heard things. And we understand it to be maybe different.
There. You got a ton of CIs. I've got a ton of CIs. They can't. It's non-escapable. We're going to find if somebody farts. I'm going to tell you they had collard greens.
Yeah, well, it's true. But you know, we're getting some family members being told to zip it in very abrupt terms by law enforcement because they really don't want them talking about this case for fear that something might be compromised. That's understandable. But if you're a hurting family member, you know, you want to talk to somebody.
Well, and you're 5 months into the adventure.
Yeah, what are you going to spill?
Right. I mean, you know, you got to say something. In fact, on that subject, the family has remained quiet, but you know, they've made a lot of grumblings about coming out.
The further out from the inner circle of the family, the louder you're going to hear it, because the tighter you get into the inner circle, that's where they're being quite directing and saying, please, for the love of all things good, hush. So. But you're right, we had a great-grandmother speak to us, and she was very upset. I spoke with her again Thursday, still furious at this investigation. But if you go further inward toward the family, you're not hearing a peep. But they are frustrated, they are angry, and they are restless.
Okay, these changes that occurred last week, do you think this might loosen their tongues a little bit?
What do you think there, Bill?
Well, I would say this. I mean, like I said before, there's two ways of playing one of these investigations. That's tight-lipped and mum-dum, and then sometimes sneaking a few things out. I think that they're going to do what they're going to do. You know, that's what.
We don't figure into the equation. We shouldn't.
If it means getting that little girl home.
Bingo,
you know, if we happen to get lucky from one of our sources. I mean, we operate the streets and the CIs and stuff. They got a pretty good snitch group on the loose up there. I mean, you can't second guess nobody in a damn investigation. You know, you got to kind of ride with it and see, and you know, everybody wants to point a finger as soon as somebody steps on something. The only thing I would say to them that probably they shouldn't have just done the core. They probably should have went all the way out to the grandmammies, and that would have slowed down a few phone calls on your side, my side, and everything else. If they calm them down a little bit, you know, but. I don't know, TJ. It's difficult to say. I would be for some clues at this point. You know, start pointing something in a direction. You know, start to go ahead and fire a shot and see which direction it goes in. I mean, you don't have to say, well, we've got all this. You know, and give up everything. But I think that was one of the important things that happened in the Cayley case, and then through Padilla and a bunch of other people. There was a lot of people behind the scenes there. All of a sudden, pretty much same scenario. I mean, criminal child abuse. That's jailable, and that's a felony.
Yes, it is.
That's what she got nailed down on, and after a few days of looking at everybody going, oh, shit, I don't want to be in here very long, people started talking. Things started popping off. So I don't know, TJ. I would do a couple things different. Them, they're going to do what they're going to do. So.
Indeed.
Okay, I do want to remind our listeners that our phone lines are open, and we welcome your calls and comments. The number to call is 646-378-1120, or you can always ask your questions in the chat room, and it does seem fairly lively this afternoon looking over my shoulder at my wife's computer, she's typing away furiously. what is the way forward? Someone, anyone.
That's a good question. I still think putting pressure on your elected officials all the way down to where it needs to go to let them know you're paying attention and that they better be paying attention too is still the course to go. You're not going to get a tidal wave in one shot on this. It's going to have to be constant, concerted pressure. Now, somebody will say, well, gee, we heard that idea last week. We felt pretty good about it. It's going to take constant pressure in order to force the lid to pop up on a boil on this.
It pressure breaks pipes. And the only thing I would add to that, my comments before, just refer back to those, but I think that this nation, the United States of America, as many people, I'm not one of the smartest ones, Simon, you're not, some of these investigators on this case are not. There is that smart guy out there. There is that guy that come out of Conoco or Cracker Back Box or whatever he came out of, the FBI profiler, and someone like Dale Hinman to come right up in there and find out just give them some more tools. I just think that they just need more tools, that's all, and maybe they've requested it, and maybe we're putting pressure on Putnam, and we should be maybe finding out, you know, what kind of light they're in. They unfortunately probably couldn't say nothing because then the higher-ups come down on them, but maybe the higher-ups just need to hear our cry and say, hey, go offer assistance down there and give them some of the best profiles, the best minds ever came out of that bravery, fidelity, and an integrity corporation that they got running up there.
Mm-hmm.
Good answer, Cobra. I have a couple of callers on the line. Let's bring someone in from the 641 area code. Well, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
My name is Shana, and I was just wondering, how long does a person's scent stay, you know, when the dog is sniffing it out? How long does the scent stay in the area for? Do you know?
It depends. It depends on what kind of dog it is. If it's a cadaver dog, it stays there a long, long time. But say somebody, when you start getting, you do a crime or something, getting nervous, as you run, little follicles come off of you, little things and scents. As long as if it's a nice, good night, it could be 3-4 hours, maybe more bloodhounds. But I had an aggression dog, so you want to get there kind of quick, and just because that happened doesn't mean you can even pick up on the scent, depending on how the wind is, depending on a lot of variables. But if it's doable, in a best-case scenario, with one of our attack dogs, probably 3 hours, but bloodhounds seem to be able to do a little bit longer than that. But
actually, a cadaver dog will not go after live people.
No. Scent.
Right, and as I recall, they brought cadaver dogs in, didn't find anything. However, there are a couple of areas that people have indicated that maybe a cadaver dog should be brought into. TJ, didn't we talk about this?
Yes, it's an area that's close to the home where Kaylee was, where Haley was taken, and I have not heard word on whether or not another search of that property is going to take place. Now, I will tell you that the cadaver dogs did search the wooded area, that very same wooded area, but I don't know for certain, and I haven't gotten it verified yet, whether or not the dog went up to that trailer, the green trailer that sits beyond that, and some of the other area around the trailer. I do know that some of the trailers in the in Herbert's Cove, the dogs were running around some of the skirting of those mobile homes, and they were sniffing, searching for a lot of things out in the open, and they did run free in the wooded area. They didn't make a hit on that. The only hit they made was on the dumpster.
Yeah.
We might not be looking for a dead girl. We might be looking for a live one.
Yeah. Who's to say that it was Haley's scent that the dog was following? I mean, how about...
It was
like
a cadaver dog. It was a cadaver dog. That cadaver dog only picks up the scent of rotting human flesh.
I think when they was running through the woods there, from the house back out to the swamp, back out to the creek, and the dogs took all these different tracks, those are either bloodhounds or something like. They weren't cadaver dogs. Those were running on a live scent.
Yeah, those were running. That was early in the thing. This is like 2 weeks after the initial first dogs. This is the cadaver dogs. This is in the middle of an afternoon where they had Marion Flagler, Putnam, and several other counties out there too.
Okay, I just feel bad for one of our panelists. He just hasn't learned how to break in and say, "Hey, I got a question, Denny."
Yes, you know, I'd like to go back a little bit to one of the callers talking about the pen is mightier than the sword, and so on and so forth. And TJ or Cobra might be able to answer this. And she also, that caller also talked about maybe bringing in another agency or another agency to take the lead, or a new investigator to take the lead. I don't know the situation in Florida. I can't speak to that because I've never worked there, only been in the state once. But when I was working in New York, we had difficulty in doing that in this sense. A lot of the agencies here were very turf conscious. And there was a general feeling in a lot of cases that if you let a bigger agency in the door, they're going to take over entirely. And not just come in to assist, but eventually the bigger agency would be the agency. I don't know if that's a factor in Florida or not, or if it's anything of concern. And also the other agencies, the bigger agencies, were reluctant to kind of force their way into a situation. They would rather be invited in. I know we had a district attorney one time. We weren't satisfied with the way the DA was handling things. We went to the attorney general to see if the attorney general would be willing to come in and take a look at what was going on. The attorney general's person said, you know, there's nothing that says we can't. We have the jurisdiction. However, we would very much prefer to be invited in by the DA. We'd rather have our involvement be as an invited participant instead of us just saying, hey, we have overall jurisdiction here in the state, so we're coming in and taking over. Does any of that come into play in Florida with the situation there?
I think you've been opening up somebody's mail, Denny, because I just got a similar thing like that, that we'd rather be invited. In fact, I just said it a minute ago. I was trying to hint that these guys would like to be invited. They don't want to be trampling. They want to be invited. In fact,
works better that way.
I said, "Look what happened to you, Cobra." Got the FBI in jail. Woo-wee.
And you mentioned, you know, putting pressure on and keeping, letting the public officials know that the citizens, not just the families, but the citizens are concerned, involved in this thing, and are concerned about it. And I have something, another project I'm involved with now, and the first six cases I'm looking at are Florida cases. Mm. And I've been contemplating whether or not, because the local authorities that are involved seem to be deaf to the pleas of the families, and I'm contemplating about advocating a letter writing or phone call campaign. Not necessarily to the police agency, which has already apparently decided they don't want to know anything with the cases, and maybe go toward a public official or the media or something to bring that pressure. So I'm gathering from what I've heard here today that approach might be a good, sensible approach when you're not getting the response from the agency directly involved.
Mm-hmm. Denny, I'll share a secret with you, and all of the listeners do have to keep this a secret. Jen's laughing at me. We are actually contemplating a project to try and bring some of these cases to the forefront. The ones you're dealing with, Do uh-huh. they involve children?
Yes.
Okay. We seriously need to talk offline. I do believe that we have some common ground.
It sounds it, yes.
TJ, back to you.
Yes, sir.
Are we really back to square one?
Like I said, it depends on who you ask, and from what I'm getting, I think there's a new focus. Could that be declared square one? Probably. Is there a new way of looking at things the way the law enforcement stated about a month and a half ago? I believe that has taken place. But are we at square one? That's difficult to say. I think it's going to be in one's perception, and that perception will indefinitely be your reality.
Right. Let's bring on another caller. They've been waiting for quite some time. I do hope they have free long distance. Caller from the 360 area code, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, Simon. This is Queenie. And hi. Is the FBI involved at all at this point? I mean, are they involved at all?
Are they on the ground searching? They do take... Go ahead, Bill.
I can't truthfully answer that in the affirmative. Can you, TJ?
I know that when they get a lead that involves crossing the state line, that they are the ones that indeed check that out. They are the interagency there, the overarching agency in that. And are they kept apprised in the loop of everything that takes place? Yes, they are. They are apprised and they are in the loop. But are they calling the shots? That's still a local matter. It is still a local matter.
Somebody has to come in there. I mean, that's ridiculous. I also have a question about the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's carrying a child, will the child's scent go to the ground at all?
Stump me on that one. I don't know.
That's a very good one.
If someone carried Haley away,
yeah,
is there going to be a scent anywhere?
Those little endorphins or whatever they are, they're little skin particles, they drop off your body normally all the time. If she was awake and scared, I don't know. I mean, I would probably say, yeah, they probably could, but I don't have any fact based on that.
Yeah. And also, Cobra.
Yes, ma'am.
You were in Tennessee?
No, ma'am.
Earlier? Oh, you weren't?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay. All right.
No.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
No problem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Bill's been out running around catching bad guys all over the place, but he ain't been to Tennessee for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Tennessee.
What do you want to know?
Bill.
What happened?
What's happening in Tennessee?
I won't know till Tuesday.
Oh, good Lord. You sound just like
I know. But that's true. I just said I won't know till Tuesday.
What happens is that a lot of different people have been hearing a lot of different things, and in the case of a private investigator as opposed to maybe anyone else, those who are doing it privately can get away with a few more things and be a little bit more mobile if they have the means by which to do so. But, ever since this thing started, Tennessee has always been in play. Ever since there was a sighting of a young girl at a restaurant with a man that looked like Haley. That has always been in the back of a lot of people's minds, and there are a lot of people who still believe that there are some characters or some leads surrounding some things that need to be ferreted out and fleshed out further.
Mm-hmm. All I can say is Cobra is being as helpful as Putnam County.
Well, why don't you ask me what I'm working on, and I'll let you know if there's a possibility that something's working out pretty good.
Okay, Cobra, what you working on?
No. Don't ask him that, all right? Because we need to take another caller. But I am coming right back to that question. Okay, someone coming in from the 641 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Okay, this is Kay Sue again, and I was wondering on them that scent that dog followed that night when they brought in the dog to do a search on her, and they said that they took the sheets off of the big bed that Misty and Ron slept in. Well, hasn't it not been said numerous times that Haley was not in that bed? She was in her own bed. So what I'm wanting to know, are they really tracking Haley's scent or whoever may have been in that bed with Misty that night?
Kay Sue, you're right there at the crux of this whole matter. What timeline do you want, and which timeline is real, and which timeline should law enforcement follow? Now, you just hit the critical point right there on the button.
You answer that question, and we'll be leaps and bounds ahead.
Yeah.
So we're not 100% sure that that's even Haley's scent that they followed then. Huh, okay, that's all I'm wanting to know. You know what I'm saying? I just bring the bullshit and he say, she say. Hi, I'm on Blog Talk Radio talking live. My daughter's neighbor. But, yeah, that's one concern that I've got because it just seems that Misty and Ron were both so persistent on that Haley was not sleeping in her bed, but yet that's the sheets that law enforcement threw out on the ramp for that dog to catch the scent of Haley. So I'm just going to go ahead and assume here, which usually makes an ass out of me or whoever else, but I'm just going to assume that it wasn't even Haley's scent that the dog was tracking.
Well, no, you can't assume that. I mean, TJ, you did a walkthrough of the house, and
yeah.
I'm not going to touch the subject of the back door.
Door!
Because I just know that will create havoc online.
Yeah.
But the walkthrough indicated that there were two beds in the room.
Yes, there was a little pallet bed, like a little mattress type thing that a child would sleep on, and then the fuller size bed.
Right, and I don't think it was you that said it, but it certainly was on CNN that.
It was Marlena Schiavo and Mrs. Nevis who were conducting that on television, if that's who you're referring to.
Right, and okay. You know, it was the little pallet bed that
mm-hmm.
she was sleeping on. And in your mind, does that make much sense?
None of this makes any sense, and to be quite honest with you, just a reporter and not a person who's in with the police going through there when they're doing their forensic studies, when they're going through their walkthroughs, and when you're listening to questioning and stuff like that, not much I'm going to say is going to mean a hill of beans, but it's all screwed up from the get-go when you can't remember who's on first, what's on second, was the light on, was the door locked, what time is it? It's all went in the Cuisinart, man.
Was the kids in the bed? Was the kids beside the bed? It's shown on TV, or was it at the bottom of the bed? What they keep saying. So yeah, you got
yeah. It, so that's what I'm saying. It's all the timeline, and ma'am. To answer your question, and Simon, to answer your question, it's all again the inconsistent timeline. And you know what? There are people who get very upset with me when I say that, and then that's something that I've been getting strong and steady. And if that's one thing that's been consistent through this, from law enforcement, from all agencies, is that. And if it appears that I have nothing new to say on that, that's not the case. I'm just telling you why this thing has taken so long. You have a variety of different points in which to start because of the inconsistencies.
Okay,
oh.
Now I got another one about Teresa Nevis. Now they say, now on the police report, it says, because, you know, they got the police report up on the net and all, you know what I'm saying? But it says in the police report, Teresa Nevis lives in Pomona, Florida. But yet it was said that she lived in Fruitland, Florida, and then it says Crescent City, Florida. Does anyone know for a fact where Teresa Nevis lives?
Yeah, we know. But we're not going to tell you, but all those places are real close together.
they're just dots on a county road, really.
Yeah, it's just dots on a county road. I mean,
you spit across the back fence, you're in Wallaca, you know, you're in Zanzuma, you're in San Mateo. It depends on which part of the river you're fishing.
Okay, well, let me put it this way. Is she 15 minutes from Ron's trailer or further?
Any of those places would be about
15 minutes, yeah.
Yeah,
we're not being funny with you, but we're telling you the truth. Yeah.
That would be 15 minutes by bicycle, I would imagine.
Turtle takes
20.
Yeah.
Well, because I heard Fruitland, and that's supposed to be 80-some miles from Fat Tuma. So.
There's Fruitland and there's Fruitland Grove, and I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Because,
okay.
See, that's what, you know, I was trying to figure out the timeline here. If it took her only 15 minutes to get there, you know what I'm saying? She couldn't have lived that 80-some miles away.
It's not 80. That's a misprint. It's probably 8.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what I was pulling up on the satellite, you know, you get on the Google satellite thing. Yeah.
Computers ain't always accurate, are they, TJ?
Not always. I've been burned a few times or 60 myself.
Yep.
Okay, and then I had another one, and I know, because I've been thinking about this all week.
Turn your volume down. You like to hear yourself. Turn your volume down a little bit, K-Sue, on your computer.
Yeah. Turn the volume down, JoJo. You don't need to hear me.
She said it is down.
Okay.
Okay, now the scent that the dogs followed, and again, I'm going off the internet from an aerial view.
Go ahead.
It says that they went at Garden Green Drive, and then they went up Monroe, around Buchanan Circle, back down Monroe, and then up Buffalo Road or whatever. When they hit those railroad tracks and lost the scent, could it have been possible that somebody knew exactly what time a train was coming through there and threw her, whatever the scent was that they was following on that train?
That train blasts through there at about 45 miles per hour, I swear to God. If you're going to catch that damn train, you better be Superman. What's that, Bill?
I'm saying like throw a piece of clothing or something on there, whatever, you know what I'm saying? I'm just...
No, I'll tell you, here's the secret. Oh, damn it. There's a railroad crossing right there, and that train stopped. She got on the bus, but it wasn't going to school, and they took off. Come on now. Come on, K-Sue. Come on now.
No, that train doesn't stop, and I've never seen it slow down. It's not to say that it doesn't, but it's going there in a pretty good toke.
It's an Amtrak train. I mean,
It carries cars on there up to New York City or Philadelphia and stuff like that. It's the car train.
Yeah.
Okay, so if they would have crossed the tracks, would it be a train knocked the scent off then, or?
Well, any good dog circle around till you find the scent again. So I don't know. they didn't break out all the tracks for us. I don't know how you got to the actual track lines, but they didn't break all the tracks out. I mean, at one point they have to stop. Where that stop was, I don't know.
No, that's what I'm gonna figure. I'm gonna get up online and see if I can't find out where all that train stopped. But I'm just not saying that they jumped the train or nothing. But could they have thrown whatever article that they had, maybe possibly dragging to throw off the scent or make it look like a stage?
Just as easy as they could have stopped the train and got on it. That could have happened. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so actually we just need to do what LE's doing and start over from square one, right? Oh, I got another one for you, too. What time did Johnny Sheffield show up on the scene? What time did he get called? And what time did he call Crystal and Marie back? And that's it. That's all I got.
I assure you this, no matter what time Johnny showed up on the scene, Johnny ain't had nothing to do with this.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I think everyone is in agreement. Johnny Sheffield is...
Yeah.
The wrong person.
Yeah,
to
just
be
leave that man
at.
Alone. That's a good fella right there. I'll let you know that. If he knew what was going on with this child, yeah.
Well, see, that's what I've believed from the beginning because you said yourself, Cobra, he's a good man. He's an ex-Marine. You know, there ain't nothing he wouldn't do for his family. If him and Crystal's got their differences, you know, what father and daughter don't have their differences? You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Is that bad?
Let's pick up another caller, and Cobra, you can rest assured that after we're done with this caller, I'm going to be asking you about PIs in Satsuma.
Uh-oh.
So you can just sit and think about that for a couple of minutes. All right.
Did I hear the sheriff's office turn on the radio here?
Yep. And a big hello to everyone in law enforcement in Satsuma, or more correctly, Putnam County. We have someone coming in from the 443 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hello, everybody. Cobra, TJ, and Simon, and Jan. I just have a question. I don't know if you guys have already covered it. I'm having problems picking up on my computer. But is there any reason why they haven't had another roundtable discussion about this?
We kind of teed that up earlier in the day. That's okay, honey. That's perfectly fine. We have people joining the show at all times, and I think this is a good time to recap that, as a matter of fact. I was a bit upset and a bit frustrated that has not yet happened. And the explanation from local law enforcement is we're in touch all the time. And I think Cobra may have really touched off what needed to be touched off, is that a lot of things have taken place here, especially in the last 10 days. There have been movement here, there, some decisions made in courtrooms or through investigative agencies regarding possible charges of abuse, which were never founded in the case of allegations against Ron. And now maybe some dirt is starting to move a little bit. And maybe, just maybe, they need to have some things start shifting around a little bit before they call this second roundtable, if indeed they do. And then maybe they can get in probably more useful tools in this investigation. And perhaps they can more clearly target some of those parts of the investigation that need to be targeted more centrally instead of peripherally.
Okay, and I have one more question also.
Uh-huh.
And this is just my own personal opinion. Is there a possibility that, there could be like some inside dirty business going on? Because I've followed this case from day one, and in my opinion, I mean, none of us are perfect, and maybe Cobra, you have said or done things you shouldn't do, but I think you're great and your heart's in the right place.
Thank you. When
it seemed like you started getting close to some things, that's when, you know, the trouble occurred. With or without Kim Picazio,
yeah. It
would have occurred anyway.
Good.
Because it seemed like you were, you know, getting close to something that you shouldn't have.
Well, the reenactment, Cobra, I think that's the part that got me, and that's when all kinds of warning, Will Robinson, danger, started going off in the area. And I got to tell you, that was a pretty bold move that you made to try to get that reenactment taking place pretty early on. Yeah.
Well, I've solved most of my cases, most every case. I tried to shortchange Rendu and not do his crime scene. I figured I already knew what was going on, but I swear, it's always been like that for me. Time I get back to the basics of it and work out from there. And for whatever reason, I mean, I didn't mean to upset anybody or cause any problems. You know, you got to remember, I was asked to go there. I don't stick my nose in the different things. I was
absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was asked, you know, and I tried to honor that ask, that request. And, hey, I'm a grown-ass man. I had to take on my lick.
Jeez.
I wasn't trying to offend nobody.
No. In fact, you're just trying to get the damn thing solved.
I got other stuff to do. I mean, you know, I don't want to be sounding cold-hearted about it, but I have put everything that I can muster into this case, and probably a little bit too much at times, and I apologize for that.
Well,
but
I've got three children.
Pressure breaks pipes, and if you keep the pressure pressing, something's going to break, something's going to pop. I just didn't think it was going to be me popping up in a jail cell, but, hey, you know, shit happens.
Well, I've got three children, and if anything were to ever happen to us, I'd be honored for you to look for them. I think you've done a great job. All of you have, you know, Jan.
I'm honored
and
by that statement.
All of you guys have done a great job, and I just love you, TJ. Thanks, guys.
Watch him. Watch out, TJ.
TJ, you've got a fan.
Yes, he does.
Thank you. That's very nice.
Cobra, I'm going to go back to you.
Uh-oh.
And as was mentioned earlier in the show, that there is a high likelihood that some law enforcement officials in Putnam County are listening to the show. I do wish they'd call in. I mean, I'd love to talk to them, but I doubt they would do that. Basically, you're personae non gratis. And I don't think a lot of people understand exactly the situation. You know, the world online is a fire with, oh, well, this Cobra guy came in, then he left. You know, so what's he doing now? You know, I don't want you to tell your story because we only have 21 minutes left in the program.
A little cold over there.
Yes.
Right.
Chilly.
But, I mean, you know, are there searches? Are there investigators, private investigators, working on this case?
we've got some very important people working on it. I don't know if you knew it or not, but, yeah, I am persona non grata, and I wouldn't go back to Putnam County anyway. You know, I didn't lose anything in Putnam County. There is a little girl lost, but I don't think she's in Putnam County. But nonetheless, you might have been keeping up with the news. It's another national case. It's studied here in Florida, and you know,
yeah.
The New York Times has picked up on it. I represent, and I'm represented by a large law firm headed up by a brilliant mind, John Contini, in fact, author of a new book that just came out called Danger Road. And some of you might want to read that. It's on DangerRoadTheBook.com. And Danger Road, and that's he's a very intelligent man. So what we did is I decided to investigate his story with this police officer shot and killed two different defendants within a week's time. And, of course, that sent off wildfires for the last week because I also represent law enforcement through the PBA and the cops and different things. But in this case, I'm not investigating the officer. I'm investigating, like I normally do, the SOP, the Standard Operating Procedure, departmental changes, different things that's happened in this man's life, because I don't believe, like my constituents do, you know, as far as they saying this assassination, this, that, and the other. I don't, investigators don't always agree with the folks they help. But in turn with this, by me going to Miami and, you know, going back through the – of course, that investigation is still ongoing by Miami Police Department, and we're kind of waiting for some of that to pop off. But I made some horse trading to where I traded my services to that case and had one of their investigators take care of Putnam County and there and other places. And this firm here, they do a lot of networking among lawyers and investigators and stuff. So, I mean, it's countless as to the team that I have now. It's innumerable. And John Contini is the head guy behind that. Of course, I have local representation there in Putnam County as well by a well-known guy. And in the end, I think this is all going to work out. And our team is geared to help in any way law enforcement. As long as they're asking for this help. As far as outside of Putnam County, the world's free. I've made an agreement not to go back into Putnam County and practice my wares over there. They might not understand me. But nonetheless, there's still a child missing. I do believe law enforcement is working it as diligently as they can, despite the family's request for more action, faster, faster. I think they need tools. I think that Dominic is doing an excellent job as head. Haven't been wrong about choosing the right players in, you know, my time. So I'm thinking that in the days and weeks to come, we will see more advanced movement on the case. Some things have moved around already, and we're no nonsense. It's not a nonsense issue. We're going to go forward with this, and we're going to solve it. It's going to get solved, and I pray that that's in a good celebration type of mode, that we're really happy. And if not, either way, it's going to be solved. And TJ, I don't know what you think about it, but that's how we're looking at it. It's going to get rectified.
It will. It will, and I agree.
Yep.
You know, I have a positive bent on this story. I know that it will get resolved. And I sincerely hope that it doesn't take 27 years like it did for Paul Chaff.
Oh, my
mm-hmm.
But there's another side to me that says, hey, this should have been solved within a week.
Yeah.
You know, what went wrong? You know, did something go wrong in that first week?
I think where everything went wrong, there's only one place everything went wrong. When somebody was on the other end of the phone calling 911, something went wrong. But at that point in time, from the calling of 911, it seemed like somebody would be able to tell you one time, you know, somebody's got that blog out there running. Mark Twain said, the truth, you don't have to remember the truth. It's there. So why all the hubbub of where the child was and what was going on? Why don't just come clean? What could you possibly be lying or trying to cover? What? You
okay.
Got a child missing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other thing that bothers me greatly is the Misty Cummings timeline. I know it's been talked about a million times, and I'm going to talk about it a million and one times. It's just the way I am. That there's something that doesn't quite gel. I know she's young. We know that she'd come off a 3-day drug binge. That's been well reported. I mean, what is the true timeline? You know, I've read so many, and of course, because no one's been charged, there is no access for us press types to the interviews. But boy, I would bet they would make interesting reading. I'm not accusing Misty of doing anything.
But you did answer your own question. You did answer it.
Yeah.
That's why they haven't moved forward with one of these lesser crimes, because then that will open them up. I mean, they're playing a very good chess game. I will give it to them. But that's exactly right. And as hard as we push, you see what happened in Orlando. Yeah, that they swallowed that one and went ahead and got her. But then it opened up Sunshine Law to all of us, and then things started popping off. So if they were to arrest either one of them in regards to this case and be forced to release some of that pertinent information, it may jeopardize their entire case. So everybody wanting to push for their arrest, I agree with law enforcement. Unless you got the damn brass ring, don't do it. Hold up. There's other things that you can do. And I think that's what they're doing. And, I don't want to be sucking on law enforcement's ass because, I could get shot by one of them next week. I mean, whatever could pop off. But I'm just giving the devil his broth. If they did file some lesser charge other than kidnapping, abduction, whatever those serious charges are, it would jeopardize their case because then they would be open to guys like me grabbing the records. And that's where we get to trim off all our information.
Oh, TJ, we wouldn't do that, would we?
Two fairy ain't coming to your house, TJ.
TJ, I'll ask you the same question.
Please repeat it. I'm slow today. I just got off the plane.
Right. He's jet lagged from, where was it, Ohio?
No, up near Chicago, in northwest Indiana.
Denny's stomping area.
Yeah.
All right. The Misty timeline.
Yes.
That obviously is a key component.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, Misty was complicit, but that has to be a major, major key in the entire case. Will that timeline ever be resolved?
Well, I'm hoping that it has been at this point, and if this gels with the loose phrase that we've been hearing starting up from square one, maybe that was what someone was referencing. I'm telling you, law enforcement is not throwing out any clues. Law enforcement is not scrapping everything they have on their chalkboard and starting fresh and all over. They might be starting in a new direction with something that they believe is the actual starting point. So, well, with that in mind, do you think they would actually tell us that, they continue to work on it? The term starting from square one has been used with some folks that they've interacted with, but not from the press, not with the press.
Right. In fact, the press very much has been excluded from this case.
And that's true, and I'm not crying or whining or bitching or moaning about this stuff either, because they have a case to solve. They also have some prosecutions to go through when this is all said and done. I will tell you again what Dick Shaulin told me and what Johnny Greenwood told me and what Major Bowling told me and what the Sheriff Jeff Hardy told me. Yes, there probably will be some people arrested. Yes, crimes have obviously been committed. You know what? we're going to find the girl first, and then we're going to start arresting people. But they're going to find the girl first, and there are a lot of people bitching and moaning, why isn't so-and-so in jail? Well, it's like, well, let's find the girl first. That way we can properly and slam dunk charge and prosecute somebody with crimes that were committed during the whole course of this ugly, ugly mess, instead of perhaps someone getting out on a technicality. You know why folks are very upset, and as you should be, and I'm with you on that. I'm upset too. You hear it in my voice. I'm upset that there's no resolution on this. But folks, one thing that they are doing right in law enforcement is that, one, find the girl. They haven't found her yet, so you know it's not been an easy task. I'm not saying cutting them a break. I'm saying still keep on them with the emails. Keep your lawmakers, put some fire into them to keep this going. But the mainstay of the case management is find the child, then start arresting, and then start prosecuting, and make these prosecutions successful. It's a very arduous, it's a very painstaking, it's very maddening, it's a very upsetting thing, because all of us want justice and we want it now. We want the baby home, we want the baby now. We want it all right now. And to sit here as jacked up and as upset as I am and say, please be patient, would be disingenuous. But I am telling you what the philosophy is right now. Find the baby, prosecute the other yahoos later.
Right. I say, TJ, if you're hungry, don't go after the mouse, wait for the possum.
Oh, that was a deep and philosophical...
rats and possums look alike, and if you're hungry, go for the biggin.
Yeah.
Okay,
the biggin.
We do have another caller on the line. Area code 443, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
I just continue to listen, and I'm having problems with my computer.
Oh, okay. Well,
Simon,
listen in. That's just fine. Right.
Simon, I have a question.
Sure.
If that's okay. This is Feisty. I'm curious. I have actually a couple questions.
What's up, Feisty?
Cobra, hi.
Hey, girl.
I was wondering, have you given up? Have you stopped looking for Haley?
Are you listening to this broadcast, or you just turned on the video?
No, come on now.
Come on, put your dial back on there. I just told you, I traded. I'm working another case. I'm still working this case. I'm still the guy... in the middle, sorting out information, but my notes, where I left off on the case and everything else, have been traded to another serious investigator, which he ain't no bondsman, so I don't think he has to run the risk of being exposed up there. So he's rolling around quite doctorically.
That's good. Now, there's been a rumor that Haley's shoes were given away. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know, Mama. Listen, there's fiction, and there's a lot of folks that practice the fiction side of things, and I've heard about this and that and the other, and I'd have to refer to you, but I'd say I don't believe it for a minute.
I don't either.
I wanted to tell you, TJ, I absolutely love your passion for this.
Thank you very much.
I admire you like I can't even believe.
Well, God bless you. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It was this case that actually brought TJ and I and Cobra together.
Uh-huh.
And these are some really, really fine people. You know, I admire Cobra. I admire his spunk to go out there and actually do things. And I admire TJ. He has the passion. You know, that there are few journalists that are willing to put their neck out in this ugly world.
Uh-huh.
And TJ's one of them.
Well, bless you. Thank you very much. Sometimes it feels like there's
really
something else on the block.
Oh, yeah.
I said you're corporate, so you really got to walk on a thin line, too. Jeez.
Yeah, you know, I can pee them off on both ends of the spectrum here and really get my ears boxed on both ends. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to do what's right and let the chips fall where they may.
Exactly.
Let's take another caller. Someone coming in from the... 337 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment?
Hi, Simon. This is Lindy. I was calling. I would like to know what Cobra thinks about where she may be. Is she out of state?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm sure both Cobra and TJ have answers to that one. Cobra, you're up.
Oh, yeah, you have to grow me first.
Yeah.
I've only got one opinion as to her location. If somebody didn't see this train wreck coming a long ways off and snatch this little girl, I don't think it's a nice, happy day. And if they did snatch this little girl and you follow the trail, it was all through North Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and went up through that away into Ohio, and then some say backtracked. And, you know, I see all the other cases popping off alongside this case where the guys broke out of jail and ran all the way up the road, got up there safe and everything, and come back down here just to see what the hell.
Who's talking
on.
About him? Yeah.
So,
Jesus.
You know, people in areas congregate for a reason. I mean, if you didn't like your neighbors, you'd probably move out of there and move somewhere else. So birds of a feather kind of stick together. So I kind of put all these stories together, and I go, anything's possible.
Can I ask one more?
Sure. I hope I can answer it better.
Do you think she's safe?
I got I'm having a 52 day today. You know, it's like TJ and I discuss, and Art and Simon, all of us have private conversations about it all the time. You know, some days you just feel like bloody hubbub. You know, what the hell? There's a body out there. And then other days you go, hey, she's vibrant, and, you know, she's running around wondering when all this drama's going to end. So, you know, until something twists just a little bit more, I don't know.
Could family
really be involved?
I'm sorry?
Could family really be involved?
It kind of looks
Ooh.
That way.
Yeah,
law enforcement has said, and, you know, we're not going to say nothing different from what law enforcement says, and law enforcement said this is no stranger abduction, whatever that means.
Yeah, that means that in the scientific sense, the person was not a stranger to the child, or there would have been, a lot more noise, a lot more this, a lot more that, and it wouldn't have been an apparent clean swipe.
What's really bad is what that breaks down to in my hillbilly mind is Haley knew her abductor. And to be taken out of a bed, if that's where she was really taken from, in the middle of her arrest, you know, I was talking to some folks that got children, and, you know, I've been around a lot of people's children, my own children and stuff, and I look at them, and, you know, sometimes I have that little fleeting thought when they're walking away, like, have a nice day, you know, be safe, be good, you know, and all this, and then you have that little fleeting thought, like, how scared could that child have been when somebody just grabbed them up out of the bed?
Oh, Jesus, so, yeah.
Oh, God.
You know, Dr. Phil had to fix that, you know, I mean, that's real, real trauma stuff right there now. It's traumatic. Whichever, good or bad, is very traumatic. Just that thought alone keeps me going.
TJ, do you want to tackle the start of that question?
Is she alive?
No. Is she in Florida?
Boy. You know, There are some things I'm working on, you know, and I'm gonna play LE today. There's some things I'm working on. There's some things I don't know. There's some things I want to know, and until I do know those things today, I'm just gonna say my heart tells me that baby's alive, and let's hope for the best, and let's wait toward the middle of the week before we start going in that direction here.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I'm
sorry that was just a lame-ass answer to some folks who like to hear it straight from this horse's mouth, but and that ain't happening today, and I apologize.
No, I think that's a very valid answer. But you have obviously opened up an avenue. You feel that there is something coming down the pike?
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
I think all of us in our heart of hearts would be liars if we didn't say that we felt something positive coming. There's too much there that states that it is.
That's right.
Okay. And like a good soap opera, we should leave on a questionable note. You know, So we have less than a minute left in the program. I want to thank my wife, Jan, for joining us.
Thank you.
Denny, are you still with us?
I'm here, and thank you for having me back.
Denny, it's always a pleasure, but you have to learn how to just shout up. You know, it's the only way you'll get heard on this show.
quick question for Denny. Denny, are you investigating this one particular case I made mention of? That was my question for you.
I'm not sure. I might be.
Okay. I look forward to sharing with you.
Okay, thank you, Culver.
You're welcome.
And I'll get you guys together off the air.
Okay.
Cool. TJ, no show would be complete without you.
Yay. Say a lot of prayers, take some action into your own hand, and demand prompt representation from your representatives here. Put the pressure on, they work for you, and keep the pressure going on them to get this case resolved. Some of these people don't know because they're working on other things, that people are leading them around by the nose or putting a fire under them to get done in Tallahassee or in the county courthouse or someplace else where they have constituents. You are a constituent. You are a person who lives here. You are a legal resident. You are a voter. Let that voice be heard, because these people work for you. They don't control you.
Mm. Cobra.
I would say I'd like to send you this book, Danger Road. Get your thoughts on it. That's one thing. And secondly, I really appreciate being involved in your talks and everything, and for some reading material for your folks to read and catch up on some reading material. Very short, this week's homework assignment would be a quick look at the Constitution of the United States of America.
There you go.
Amendment number 6.
Uh-huh.
And look and see what your rights are, and then see if you've been violated.
Ouch. Okay.
Ouch.
Yeah. On that note, I think I'm going to wrap the show up. It's been delightful. We lost some of our earlier panelists. Paul had to climb on an airplane to fly to Fort Lauderdale or
Dallas.
But I think we've covered a great deal of ground today, and you can guarantee we'll be doing the same thing next week.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank everyone. Thank you so much.
Everyone,
thank you.
Don't forget, this is all about Haley.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Let's stop with all the fighting in the forums and all gather together and find this little girl.
I'll bet you don't ever see me fighting. I'm just going to be fighting the one that's responsible for this. I made up my mind now. The ass whooping belongs to whoever did this, not me, not TJ, not Art, not Simon,
exactly.
Not even Tim.
Exactly.
Everybody stirs their own pot
exactly.
According to how they stir it. But I say you're right. Let's put the right ones in the pot and get to stirring.
Right.
Righty.
Okay, folks. It's been a slice. Let's do this again soon.
Thank you, everyone, for calling in and for listening, and all of you guys, too. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Dan, thank
Bye.
You for posting on the blog site about the email for Florida.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much. This is Queenie.
Okay. All
Thanks
right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.